Hi Jayesh, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Can you see me and hear me clearly
I can
enough?
hear you well and I can see you well as well.
Okay, great. Hey, morning. How are you?
Very well. Thank you so much for joining us on a Sunday morning. Absolutely
Hey,
delightful to
my.
have you. Let's get right into it. I want to start by, talking. You've been a serial entrepreneur, so I don't want to talk about all your ventures, but specifically the latest one, which is Quirkbox, your fashion label. Could you talk us through the journey of creating something like that, going into fashion? What were your thoughts? How did you get started?
Sure. So, some people are probably familiar with it, and probably for the others that have joined in now or aren't familiar with what I do, I used to be a full-time artist before Quirkbox, and showcasing from gallery to gallery, just my observations and how people perceived art or the culture of art or just the whole art being a little elitist. The concept of it was a bit alien to me because from the way I'd like to see it, I'd like for art to have been more democratic. Which is something I didn't really witness in these circles. And I figured that there needed to be a way to bridge that gap. What if, because from the people that I spoke to, there was always this intimidation of art and there was always this intimidation of wanting to go to galleries because a lot of people, more often than not, say, we don't understand art, it's confusing or it's not for us. And there were always some kind of a hindrance that people had in context to their perceptions of how they saw art, right? So I figured that there needed to be a way for me to bridge that gap or address it in a way that I could get art to them. And I figured that just by changing the medium, there was potentially a way to show my art to a larger audience. So instead of asking you to come to an art gallery and say, hey, here's my work of art on a canvas framed on 4 pieces of wood, why don't I change my medium and I take my art to you? So instead of me putting it on a canvas and up or on fabric, and I drape it on you, and you literally are now my walking piece of gallery, right? So just
Absolutely.
by changing the medium and changing the concept of how art could be showcased is how concept of Quirkbox came into being, and it literally helped me to reach my get my art into a household across the world, at least in India to a larger extent, and then gradually we scaled up as well. But yeah, it's an interesting space because you move from being an artist to also an entrepreneur. So there are new challenges that you learn because, technically I'm a creative guy. My job is to, create cool art. But suddenly you're thrown into a new space and then there's a whole new learning curve, which by itself has been a very exciting journey for me. So yeah, but that's kind of how the concept of Quirkbox came to be.
Fantastic. I actually want to emphasize that a little bit more because what's very interesting about you is that most creative people consider themselves artists or consider themselves just creators. But what you're also thinking about is also the entrepreneurship angle to it. You're also talking about, bringing your art to a wider audience. So you're actually, connecting the dots there, not just being a designer and an artist. You're also going out and talking about how you're going to bring your art out to the world, make it commercially viable for most people. Like you said, it's
Absolutely,
democratizing.
absolutely.
That's very interesting. Could you talk to me a little bit more about building that creative confidence? So talk to me a little bit about how coming out of college, you started your first venture just as an artist to becoming a full-time entrepreneur, being able to do, I can do that, I can scale that, I can make that commercially viable.
Sure. So the thing is, most businesses, whether small or large, are actually born out of a need. Or a gap that you see in the market, and so you feel there's a need to address that, right? When I had galleries rejecting me, because of the nature of the work that I did, I figured I should start my own gallery so I can showcase my own works. I figured there's one way to address it. Like, okay, if you are not willing to showcase the kind of work I do because you are uncomfortable with it, that should not stop me from doing the kind of work that I would like to pursue. So I started my own art gallery. I figured out a means to do it, and I tied up with a few people. And started my own art gallery. That was a very, very long time ago. And it also gave me that opportunity to use that as a platform to showcase artists that possibly didn't have the potential to reach out to, at that point, larger galleries. Eventually, I was very fortunate to be represented by other galleries, but to start out with, I used that gap that I found to start my own gallery. At some point, I started a t-shirt label which failed miserably. I had a graphic design studio much before Quirkbox as well, which I actually still do, but it was under a different brand name. So I think a lot of this stems out of a need. Like I used to study in Southeast Asia, and you know, there was a general aesthetic of design that I observed, which I felt lacking in India at that point. And right. I figured, okay, let me come back here and address that and figure out how we can make cooler clothes, you know. A decade ago, it didn't exist. And so I started my label. And I think, you know, just because of my inexperience as an entrepreneur at that point, I possibly failed, I'd say. But I mean, of course, it was a learning curve, but I failed in terms of being able to monetize it. But you know, sure enough.
Sorry to interrupt. What is very interesting is I want you to talk about a little bit about the gaps you address in the market, right? What I've seen very the common part of all your stories is that you always found a gap in the market and you tried to address it. I saw your TED talk about how during your downtime, in your art studio, when you had downtime, you had no clients coming in, etc. You made the most of that opportunity to try something different. Actually express yourself differently. Right now, for example, everyone is stuck at home. Businesses are at an all-time low. Again, most of the artists in the creative community right now must be facing that downtime you face, that moment of frustration.
Yeah.
So could you talk a little bit about how they can go ahead and identify gaps in the market, build their creative confidence, build skills that would be able to suit them?
So, I mean, the thing is, as artists, you know, we should constantly be creating. I don't see that because things around us slow down, we should stop slowing down in what we do. Maybe you don't have projects that are being commissioned to you that are possibly commercial, but that should not stop you from creating, because inherently we're creators. And I think we need to self-motivate, we need to self-initiate projects for ourselves and keep constantly creating work so that when the market possibly opens up, whenever that may be, you know, you have a body of work that you are proud of that you can show to people to potentially get new work to come, you know, come by. Any skill sets that you possibly feel like you lack, you want to address that. Any skill sets that you feel like would enhance your potential prospects going forward, you want to kind of use this time to kind of address that as well, right? So I think similarly for me, like when I could not find clients to do my design work, I started painting just more as I utilize my time more creatively and, you know, kind of be productive, right? And, you know, it turned out to be a full-time profession for me at some point, right? So I think in the same way, at this point, I think addressing that time with either developing new skill sets or just constantly continuing to create is very important. You know, I'm very fortunate in the space that I am, that we're swamped in a time like this, because, I mean, if you think about it, a decade ago, there was no social media when I started out. You know, it was very, just very nascent. And now we have a window to showcase our work. I didn't really have that window at back then, you know. So I feel like even with the lack of that, with the window, if I could still find a way to showcase, you know, get visibility of what I did or reach out to people, I think with the, you know, platform of social media, it should be a whole lot easier if you ask me now. Plus, you know, the design world in general, graphic design, commercial arts, fine arts, all of them for that matter, have a lot more potential for clients and buyers now than they ever did, because we're a lot more receptive to art and design now than we've ever been, you know.
Right.
So yeah,
I also want to talk to you about you know, you make it sound like it's mundane, but I think having multiple businesses and being able to move from one sort of thought process to another is a fantastic skill to have, especially as an artist. Very few artists are able to, you know, go across, I would say, mediums so easily. You see Takashi Murakami try and do it somewhat successfully.
Yeah.
You see Tom Ford do it with making a movie as well as, you know, going into fashion.
Yeah.
So how does your creative process change when you're actually, you know, working with, say, in your design studio and getting a client brief versus going and putting out your own collection? How does that sort of, how do you change that mindset?
So, I mean, if you consider yourself to be any kind of a creative person, I think the medium should not be limited. I mean, you know, literally putting my work on a canvas, putting it on a piece of furniture, putting it on maybe making a logo, whatever they may be, right? I think I see myself as a creator, and medium is not important to me. I see medium only as an opportunity, because I feel like I could do it on a wall, I could do it on a piece of fabric that could potentially become curtains, bed sheets, textile fabrics, clothes, you know, you think of it and it has potential to go into it, right? So it's literally, as creative people, that is our response. It's our job, you know, to keep thinking up new ideas to where we can showcase our work, right? So if it's a coaster, I just see it as a piece of acrylic lying there, which needs to be, you know, creative enough, right? So it's literally just like looking around, seeing all of those things. But yeah, I mean, coming back to your question, sorry, I kind of digress, but coming back to your question, QuirkBox, one of the reasons I wanted to also do QuirkBox is because prior to QuirkBox, when I had my own design studio, I always had a brief that a client gave to me, right? And a client says, logo bada karo, iska color change karo, font acha nahi hai. And the thing is, more often than not, that client has no clue of design, right? I mean, if you're a doctor, do your job as a doctor. If you're a builder, do your job as a builder. Right. I don't ask you how your brick should be placed, and I believe you need to trust me with the design that you've come to me to do. If you do not trust my judgment or my knowledge or understanding of this, then maybe I'm not the right person for you. You can go to another designer. But if you want to hire me, you need to trust my instincts and my decision as to what I will do is right for you, whatever that project may be, right? So I feel that that was possibly lacking to some extent a very long time ago, because I think when I started out, people were still not very respective of design,
right?
And design was just something that they did, that they felt like they had to do, you know. But today they feel like people feel like they need to do it. Back in the day, it wasn't just need; it was just it's something we do. Right. And so designers didn't have that respect either. And so I faced the brunt of that because everybody kept saying, make the logo bigger, change the font. And I didn't want to be dictated in terms of the design directions that I was taking, because I felt like I knew what was right and I knew what I was doing for you, because I was, with all my sincerity, trying to do something that was right for my client. But the client always had a different perspective about it, and that was very annoying for me, which is why, to kind of address my own briefs, is why I started QuirkBox, so I could create my own art and my own graphics and say, hey, this is how it should be, and this is what I want you to see, right? So that's how QuirkBox came to being also. But today, you know, possibly because of the experience and the kind of work scope that I've done over the years, I have the liberty or the freedom from a lot of clients now that trust my instinct and my judgment to do what's right for them. Of course, I mean, every now and then you'll have an odd client that, you know, kind of wants to poke his nose around, maybe rightfully so sometimes. But, you know, I think I've earned the space now where I can kind of take a direction and give a direction to a client as well as to what works for them. But yeah, I mean, you know, distinction between fashion or design or clients is more often than not the freedom of expression that one can have between two projects. But what's exciting sometimes is when a client brings you work, what's exciting is that there is a predetermined brief and a concept that you have to work towards, which is very exciting because it's a new challenge, because you're not just thinking of it from an open-ended concept where, okay, let's just put this on any medium. You already know your medium. You already know its objective, because design has a purpose. It has a function. Right. Whereas art need not necessarily have a function, right? Design has to solve a purpose, solve a problem, right? So you kind of start thinking of it from a very different perspective, which is a challenge I really enjoy. Like, I mean, if somebody says, okay, I'm launching a vodka brand, as opposed to me constantly creating art for just fashion, you know, my perspectives of both are very different. I start to understand the audience differently. I start to understand what's the story they'd like to communicate. You know, I mean, there's a lot more communication in design than there is maybe in art. And there are different kinds of communication or purposes Absolutely. Of communication,
yeah.
You know. So I thoroughly enjoy that process, because it's a challenge for me as well to kind of have new potential projects, whether in different industries, whether it's, you know, like I said, like alcohol or FMCG or right. furniture or right. just there's so, and you know, with the way people today are being more inclined towards being entrepreneurs themselves, there's so many startups emerging with so many right. new concepts. And you know, like, there are like 500 coffee brands that have emerged in the last 2 years. Right? And every day I'm scrolling on Instagram and I'm seeing a new ad of every day there's a new coffee brand or a new, right. you know, artisanal coffee, artisanal alcohol, and just like everything's exploding into some. Everybody has a new concept, right? Which I think is really great. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's the backbone of most economies to have startups. So that's very encouraging from a long term perspective. But for us, that's also great because we get a lot more potential work and a lot more opportunities to kind of express our creativity in different you know, industries now, right? Yeah.
And as you, I mean, it's a common frustration, you know, and you kind of have to earn your creative freedom. And also sometimes you talk about, you know, having these constraints that are put on you by large companies that have, you know, brand palette set or certain vision already in place.
Sure.
Those constraints actually yeah. may help, because sometimes creative people need direction. They crave direction. So tell me what.
It's true. It's true. I completely agree, because sometimes to have an open-ended brief is also a little complicated.
Yeah.
Because, you know, yeah. But I mean, you know, for Quirkbox, my brief is always open-ended, which kind of is fun to have every now and then.
Right.
But sometimes it's kind of interesting to have that definition as well and know a direction to work towards.
Right. So let's explore that a little bit. Your actual work with Quirkbox. So if you had to, you know, pick up a concept piece, how does it work? Do you start with like, where do you find your inspiration? Do you start with a story? We have artists who've come on here who've spoken about, they pick inspiration from something they walk by, a piece of art or furniture. So how do you, what is your creative process like?
You know, I mean, so for Quirkbox, we aren't so much about the fashion as we are about the print. We're essentially about the art, right? I mean, fashion is the medium of through which we tell our stories as artists.
Right.
So I'm not totally focused towards the fashion part of it. So I believe that my business of fashion will be driven by me making cooler art. And, you know, so when people buy Quirkbox, they're not buying fashion, they're buying art. And the fashion, like I said, happens to be just the byproduct of it. So they aren't looking to see a new sleeve or a new shape of the garment when they come to me. They know literally that we're coming for something that's out there or distinctive in terms of the print that I offer. So for me, when I start doing you know, a new collection, I'm thinking of how my print can be different from prints that are possibly out there already, or
right.
different from what I've already done. Or, I mean, honestly, the concept of originality is also so gray because everything has been done, right? So,
absolutely.
I mean, sometimes it's very odd for me to say this is original because I believe nothing is original. They're just reinterpretations of things that already exist, right? So I think you kind of, today we call original something that has been reinterpreted. You know, I do not know how much original work there really is.
Right.
But I mean, you know, but in order to try to constantly also be creative and be original, to some, you know, for lack of a better word again, I have to think up concepts. So, I mean, sometimes it's fantasy because only I can have that fantasy that you may not share. You know, I may imagine a bus flying with the wings of an eagle, but like the wheels instead have shoes from, you know, Bata, right? So
right.
just the amalgamation of which is what me as an artist has the liberty to pick on. Which I could foresee into a print, you know, and so when you see, you're like, okay, this is interesting. I haven't seen this. This would be a cool t-shirt or this would be a cool jacket or whatever it be, right? So I'm constantly thinking about it from a what's new in print or art, like what can be a fun way to interpret a story. Many a times it's things that I have, you know, it's, inspiration is literally everywhere. I'm sure every artist will tell you the same thing. You know,
right.
we don't sit on a commode and think about it at 3 in the morning, and we don't have to be in depression to just, you know, feel like, oh yeah, now we're triggered, right?
Yes.
Sure. I mean, you have adversity that kind of drives you, but you know, like, I mean, it's literally observation, and that observation could be a food, smell, a trip that you took somewhere, a conversation that you had somewhere, or just like your vivid imagination. So I think it's literally an amalgamation of all of these factors that come into place for me to make an artwork. Sometimes it's a conversation that I may have with, you know, in my own studio. We have mythology, we have fantasy, we have quirky, we have, you know, popular culture. So it's just taking inspiration from different, and also fashion is very driven by seasons and by trends. And
right.
I try not to think about that. I try to think about just, okay, I just have to keep making art. And art does not have a trend. You know, art is something that you keep creating
right.
And keeps evolving. So I try not to limit myself in terms of that aspect of it. So that kind of continues to work for my brand because I'm constantly only interested in making new art. So every time you come to my website, you see something that's always interesting in terms of the visual direction. So that's kind of worked for us as well.
Absolutely. I want to, you know, highlight a couple of things you mentioned there. One was about originality. Everyone's sort of stuck up on the concept of originality. But if you see some of the most famous artists in the world, say Kusama, who basically does polka dots
yeah.
in 5,000 different ways,
yeah.
then,
yeah. Yeah.
you know,
yeah.
so it's a very
absolutely
concept. Yeah.
Yeah.
And another thing that you pointed out right now, which is very interesting to me, was you know, in terms of thinking about fashion, in terms of seasons, etc. So those are all going away. So like you clearly said that, you know, like Gucci, for example, is not doing seasons anymore. They're just putting
yeah.
out fashion all year round. And when you're an artist,
yeah.
almost you're kind of pushed to do something new all the time. So it kind of works well for you. So it kind of falls into your lap in terms of, okay, this never mattered to me in the first place. I was, you know, last question I'd like to ask you is obviously because you've been on this journey so far in life, with different creative pursuits, what's next for you? What do you see yourself doing, you know, going forward in terms of where you're seeing a gap, where are you seeing that, okay, there's something that has been unexplored by me?
Well, there is a potential project that I have in mind, but it's too premature for me to talk about, to be really honest.
Okay.
Also, I think it's an original concept that I'm not ready to talk about yet before, for the fear of somebody stealing it before, you know, or producing it before I do. But we're working towards a direction that I feel hasn't been addressed yet. Honestly, it's been a bit of on the back burner because we have a lot of commercial projects in hand, and eventually we have to pay our bills, right? So those kind of get prioritized always. But there is a personal project that we're working on. Hopefully, you'll see it soon. I mean, it's a book. If you know, just to put it, it's a publication project.
Right.
But what that publication? But I'm sorry, I can't get into that yet.
That's right.
Publication is a space. Publication really isn't the space I have worked in. You know, I mean, apart from doing a few covers maybe for books,
right,
etc.
Right.
But publication generally isn't a space that I have worked with, so it's new for me as well. I don't know how to address it yet because I'm still learning and trying to figure it out.
Right.
But there is something that I potentially would like to work with in that space.
I think what's interesting, again, is to point out to people who are watching, is that people are going digital and you're moving towards a publication. So again, when you're talking about gaps and you're finding, you know, that's your entrepreneurial thinking, where you're looking away from the trends that are happening in the world right now and start looking in another direction, which is something that I wanted to point out.
People are talking about print being dead, right? People are talking about print being dead and everything become digital. But I mean, I don't think it's dead, you know. I mean, sure, I mean, I'm not saying that I may not put out a digital version of what I do, but I still see that potential. There's 6-7 billion people in the world, man. There's a lot of business out there.
Absolutely. There's abundance. Like, most creative people who are successful entrepreneurs are always optimists and believe there's abundance. There's always someone who's going to buy that piece of art, or they'll have an audience no matter what. So again, fantastic way to end this chat. I really, really appreciate your time today. It was a fantastic talk.
It was lovely speaking to you, man. Do you want to pick any questions that are from the audience,
we
or do you want to
few,
like just wrap?
Yeah, actually, let's do that. We had one complaining about clients. I'm gonna skip that. We have one who's asking about your educational background and what made you opt to go into the creative field.
I went to design school. I studied visual communication. What made me pick it? Actually, that it's a long drawn conversation as to why I picked creative, but I knew I was inclined towards something creative. I just didn't know what it was initially, to be honest. I actually wanted to study advertising or work in advertising at some point, and I went to design school with the intention that I'm going to work in advertising. I was dissuaded from it by a lot of ECDs that I went for interviews with, saying that my work is very design oriented and not very advertising oriented.
Right.
And I was very annoyed when that happened, actually, to be honest. But in hindsight, when I look back, I'm like, yeah, my work is very design oriented and possibly worked out for the better. Like, I mean, some of these guys I'm still in touch with 10, 12 years later, who were my mentors at some point, who said, no, you should not do advertising. And I held a huge grudge about it for a long time until I eventually realized that, yeah, all my work is potentially very design. So, but yeah, I went to design school. I studied design. I took up a few electives in different, mediums. I took fine art, I took multimedia, so I think I kind of had my hands-on experience in a few things. I did sculpture, I did a bit of fashion, more of the experiences in art school, or just exploring things. And I think eventually when I sought out to be a professional designer, I could apply some of my very basic knowledge to scale up whatever I had.
Right. Fantastic. I don't see any more questions. So, yeah, I think we're good. I think it was a fantastic
talk
again. Really appreciate your Sunday morning. Thank you again.
My pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye.
You stay safe.
Bye.
See ya.